What do pink-eyed Terminators, limbless chickens and Amazon's Alexa have in common? They all featured in the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's late-night speech before the UN General Assembly. Earlier in the day, the UK Supreme Court ruled that Mr. Johnson had acted illegally by suspending Parliament, but he barely mentioned Brexit. Instead, he warned of the dangers of digital technology, saying people need to find the right balance between freedom and control. Here's a little taste.
A future Alexa will pretend to take orders, but this Alexa will be watching you, clucking her tongue and stamping her foot. In future, voice connectivity will be in every room and almost every object. Your mattress will monitor your nightmares, your fridge will beep for more cheese, your front door will sweep wide the moment you approach like some silent butler, your smart meter will go hustling of its own accord for the cheapest electricity, and every one of them minutely transcribing your every habit in tiny electronic shorthand stored, not in their chips or in their innards, nowhere you can find it, but in some great cloud of data that lowers ever more oppressively over the human race.
Wonder if any of that data can give him some hints on how to resolve his Brexit crisis. John Rintoul is the chief political commentator at The Independent, and he joins me now. Extraordinary speech, really, John, wasn't it?
I hadn't heard that bit. I mean, I'm sorry.
It was gold. We could not play it.
Indeed. I mean, I'm afraid I do find Boris Johnson quite funny sometimes. And it's a bit refreshing to have a prime minister who plays with words in such a way after Theresa May, who was possibly the dullest public speaker. Well, I suppose John Major was pretty boring as well. But yes, at least Boris Johnson tries to cheer us up.
You've certainly had some bores. He's not boring, but he has a bit of a problem on his hands because the Supreme Court says he broke the law. What's going to happen now?
He's in a ton of trouble. Although, I mean, to be honest, the Supreme Court decision was momentous and all that, and it did underline what a huge mistake the Prime Minister made in suspending Parliament, but it doesn't actually change the Brexit situation significantly, because Boris Johnson was already trapped by a law that the Parliament passed before it was suspended, which requires him to ask for an extension if he can't get a deal through Parliament by the 19th of October. So he's still facing that blockage. And still has no easy way out of it.
Boris Johnson says he profoundly disagrees with the court, but he respects the verdict. And, well, of course he does. He has no choice. What does this decision mean for him, especially so early in his prime ministership?
Well, it makes it more difficult for him to take Britain out of the EU, because the only way he can do that now, in the short run anyway, is to get a deal through Parliament. I mean, then that would have to be something rather similar to Theresa May's deal, but possibly with more colourful language around it. And the only way he's going to do that is if he gets some Labour MPs. He has to get a significant chunk of Labour MPs. I mean, maybe only 15, 12, 15, 20, something like that. But the Supreme Court ruling puts him in such a deep hole that if Labour MPs now vote for the Prime Minister's deal, they will be rescuing him. And that's going to mean they're going to come under huge pressure from their party not to bail Boris Johnson out.
So now MPs have been called back and Parliament resumes later today because, you know, the suspension was illegal. So what happens next? What do you expect to unfold in the next couple of hours?
Just opposition mischief, basically. I mean, Parliament hasn't got anything to do. The paradox of the Supreme Court ruling is that Parliament had actually managed to do what it wanted to do, which was to pass that law to prevent a no-deal Brexit at the end of October. So MPs have got nothing to do apart from try to embarrass the Prime Minister by forcing him to publish various secret documents, ask awkward questions, And no doubt spend more days in glowing tributes to John Bercow, the Speaker, who is going to be retiring at the end of next month.
What are the next key dates and deadlines we're watching out for? October the 31st, the big one.
No. Well, actually, everything comes to a head on October the 19th, which is the date set in the law for the Prime Minister to ask for an extension if he hasn't got a deal. So there's a European summit on the 17th and 18th of October, and the next day the Prime Minister either has to get a deal through the House of Commons, in which case we would leave probably not on the 31st of October, but soon after that. And if he can't get a deal through the House of Commons, then he faces only two choices. He has to ask for an extension as required by the law, or he has to resign. So the 19th of October, Boris Johnson has talked about do or die. That is the day when he does or he dies.
Okay, and how do you predict he'll deal with it? If he can't, will he resign? Is that the sort of action he's likely to take?
That is the question.
Yes, it is. It's the main question of this entire interview.
And I don't want to answer it
because
it's almost impossible to predict. The first question is, will he get a deal through Parliament? I mean, he's absolutely desperate to do so because that's his way out. With one bound, he would be free. But that's part. I mean, that is, as I say, why Labour MPs might be reluctant to bail him out. He will try everything to get something through Parliament. So I think that there's a reasonable chance that he might achieve that. He might pull that off. But if he doesn't, I think it's in his interest to resign immediately and try to force a general election in which he goes to the country saying, "I've been thwarted by Parliament. This is the establishment versus the people. I will fight this election in order to gain a mandate to change Parliament, to get a majority in Parliament to deliver the deal that I want to deliver."
John, I am watching. I am obsessed with this story. We all are. The world's watching. Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
John Rintoul is the chief political commentator at The Independent in the United Kingdom. And this is RN Drive. I'm sure you're watching international events unfold thinking, "Whoo! Things are rather calm here." 0418 226 576 is the text line.